we have in the studio Laura Odin. And you're about to play this Thursday in the Valley at the Red Beat Bistro. Mm-hmm. There's so many questions, so little time. But what has brought you, first of all, to that venue at this time?
Well, I know that Sally has been doing these great concert series in her place. She's doing these wonderful concert series, and I just really wanted to be a part of that. One of the people that I play with the most frequently, Kevin Worrell, who plays stand-up bass with me, he's born and raised in the Valley, and so we have all these connections to the Valley. And I haven't done very many shows out in the Valley, so it's a place where I wanted to get my feet wet.
Well, we know Kevin very well. I knew him when he was about, and you can't see, but about that high, meaning he was small and young. But he has grown into a musician, and he's been in our studio, and he has played and sung and talked, and we hope to have him back sometime soon. So you're in good company. Well, how did you start? How did you start when you were about whatever high?
Well, you know, I grew up in a really musical family, mm-hmm. but I think like a lot of musicians or people who grow up in musical families, they don't necessarily identify themselves as musicians because they have to squeeze through sometimes a lot of other folks who know what they're doing. And I'm not one of those musicians that was very schooled or well-trained. So I really just played music growing up and with my family and didn't do anything professionally for a very long time. When I was in my 30s and I moved to Alaska, mm-hmm. I started playing music with a good friend, and that was the first time I ever did anything professionally. I didn't really actually know I could sing. I certainly didn't know I could play guitar.
Okay.
Now, and we were the Pagan Cowgirls at that time.
Pagan Cowgirls. Oh. And where did you move from to come to Alaska?
I came here from Washington, D.C. I lived in Washington, D.C. for 10 years.
Oh, okay.
And then I came here in 1994, so I've almost been here 20 years.
All right. Well, if you've survived 10 years in Washington, D.C., that's an interesting thing. I was there for four at one point. So
I love D.C.
Yeah, it's got some nice qualities to
yeah.
it. Yeah. Well, but here you're here in Alaska, and you live in Anchorage?
Live in Anchorage.
Okay. And well, how would you describe your music?
Oh, that's such a hard question. I think it falls in the folk category, kind of indie alternative folk is where it's probably going to land mostly. I grew up with Joni Mitchell and Carole King and Ricky Lee Jones and all those great singers and songwriters and Carla Bonoff, people like that, and James Taylor. These are big influences for me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we've recently had in performance at Vagabond Blues, Dan Hick. And the Hot Licks. And
nice.
It was a reminder when he came through, and you know, we looked back at his bio, and he talked about it himself, how he had put together his own kind of genre category. I mean, yeah, it was a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Django Reinhardt is a great guitarist, influenced him early on. But there were, and that's what in our business here, as we on a radio scheduling basis, we look and say, okay, how do we play some music? Do we have a genre that we can put this in as we're selecting from? And increasingly, it's more difficult to do. We have folk R&B / something else.
Well, I think for me, the place where I'm sure I feel comfortable is the singer-songwriter category.
Okay.
I love playing with Kevin. He's so great because he is very well-trained in music.
Mm-hmm.
And I am 180 degrees from that. I mostly play by ear. And one of the reasons I write my own songs is because, for me, that's easier. I know that's not true for everybody. But for me, writing my own songs and coming up with chords and things that fit with my hand and fit with my guitar and my stuff tends to be pretty easy. Is super fun, and then you bring somebody like Kevin into it, and he adds this fantastic layer of depth and expertise that's really good, very nicely compatible.
Yeah, I've noticed that. What I'd like to do here, then, is have you play a piece that might represent your style,
Sure.
And let's listen to that for a while, and then we'll come back and talk some more. So
yeah,
as you're ready there.
Okay, I'm going to play a song called Love Finds.
Love Finds.
And, you know, Kevin's not here, but, boy, his bass on this is fantastic, and he sings delicious harmonies, too.
Okay. So was that an early or a later song that you put together?
Oh, that one's kind of in the middle of the road. The thing that I didn't mention earlier is that I stopped playing music for 15 years in the middle of all that.
Whoa.
I kind of broke out and did the Pagan Cowgirls for a few years, and then my singing partner moved back to England, and she has been playing music ever since on the folk circuit in the UK. Anyway, her band is Bruise, and we had a great start here. And then when she left, I just stopped playing music. I just didn't find any way of playing it. And then I had a baby, and life took over, and so I didn't play music for a really long time.
Okay.
And then one day...
It
was like the well got uncapped.
You've been saving up.
Came out, yeah. That was about 3 years ago.
Okay. So you've been back playing and writing and the rest for about 3 years.
Yeah, a lot of writing. It just came out like a flood.
So sometimes the image that people have of a songwriter is that they're sitting in a room somewhere off by themselves with a guitar, testing things out. Maybe you could share something. What's the situation when you find yourself writing? Is there a particular place or way that you'd like to go about and do it?
You know, for me, the key is just getting away and finding some alone time.
Okay.
Hitting the road makes it usually gets things going and flowing.
Okay.
Even I noticed on the drive up here, I was like, oh, yes, it's good to be driving because that's often causes lyrics to start popping into your head. Mm. And when I have that, I'm very good now about immediately pulling over and getting the lyrics down right away or chords or melodies or anything like that. You have to capture it right away, which, of course, thank you, iPhone. Handy.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
Very good that way. Well, I was talking to someone recently about the writing of poetry, for example. And actually, in some respects, I think lyrics are a kind of poetry. Mm-hmm. Stories may be told, but there's this musical part to it all. And this individual was saying if they're writing poetry, they have to sit down and get out a pencil and a piece of paper or some writing implement such as that, that they can't sit down and type a poem. And there's something about the act of doing that. So I'm wondering if, for example, in the image I'm having as you're talking, if you were sitting down with a guitar, does that help to get the lyrics? How does that work? Which comes first, the lyrics or the music?
You know, everybody, I'm sure every singer-songwriter has their own process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it's the same process every time, maybe it's not. For me, it's really and truly the same process every time. The chords come first, the melody comes second, and the lyrics come last.
Okay.
And the lyrics can take a long time. Most of my chords are pretty simple. My melodies, hopefully, are not as simple. And then the lyrics really have to support the whole thing. And I think that, you know, the poetry of music is, that's, you know, one of the places where it's just so meaty and delicious and fun and therapeutic. I mean, for me, songwriting is really an exercise in therapy. And, you know, I think that I don't know. I just think that it's an incredible process to be able to link all those things together. The song, the melody, and the music for sure carries whatever words you're trying to express. But the best songs, the lyrics can stand on their own.
Right. Okay. Did you have any individuals? I mean, you've talked about Kevin, and certainly as an influence coming in and playing with him. Would you say that you could point to others? Well-known or local musicians that have influenced, given you pause and said, yeah, you know, that's pretty nice. I like to think about what they're doing.
Well, I don't know if I mentioned to you that I'm one of the people who've started the Anchorage Music Co-op.
No, you didn't.
And one of the reasons we started that, we're getting ready to finish our second season.
Okay.
One of the reasons we started the Anchorage Music Co-op, aside from the fact that any co-op is always a fantastic thing to do, in my opinion. And the idea of having a collective of musicians or something that benefited those of us who were involved seemed like a really attractive prospect to me. It seemed a way of getting the music community together. And, you know, when we first started, the idea was to provide some, to try to bridge some gaps that existed in the Anchorage music scene.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there was a lot of places to play, especially late at night, a lot of bars to play. It's great to have bars, great to have a scene. But for a singer-songwriter, it is important to have a place where you can really be heard.
Right.
I mean, I think an incredible part of the experience is having that connection with the audience. And that's part of what creates a better songwriter and certainly a better performer. So if you're always in a bar setting battling this ambient noise, then you're not really building your craft. like you need to. And we need that for a vibrant arts community in Anchorage. So that was one thing we did. That's how we started. We do shows monthly, and we're just finishing up our second year.
Where do you do the shows?
We're doing them now in the Quonset Hut. We started out at Out North. We did that for a little while, but we wanted to move to a weekend. Mm-hmm. So we had to find a place where we could get some weekend dates. And we've been doing it at Fiori d'Italia, which is a restaurant in a very in Spinard neighborhood.
Okay.
It's an Italian restaurant. And attached to Fiori d'Italia is an old restaurant called the Garden of Eden. It's not called the Garden of Eden anymore now.
Right, but I remember it.
It's the Quonset Hut, yeah. And it's one of the oldest restaurants in Anchorage, in Alaska, actually. And it has this great old Alaskana vibe, and the bar is there. So you can have a drink and a glass of wine, and you can listen to these fantastic musicians. So that was a long way of telling you that there are a bunch of musicians in Anchorage that are incredibly inspirational for me. And, you know, gosh, this place is a singer-songwriter town.
Okay. Well, there have been a number of people we've seen come through. Esther Golden, Marion Call, Tom Begich. These are all people that are... in my experience, very interesting to listen to, and the stories and the music in there, they're very nice.
Well, you know, being a musician anywhere is very difficult, of course.
Right.
We can whine about it, but the truth is we've got to make places where musicians can play and people can be drawn out so they can hear what's going on. I know that when we started the music co-op, I would go around and pull my coworkers and say, you know, when is the last time you went out and heard live music? Mm-hmm. And mostly they're in the grind. You know, they're going to work all the time. They got their kids as soon as they get home. They're slave to the man.
Sure.
And so we had to make some opportunities for people to actually get out and hear what was really happening, because there's just some really amazing musicians happening right now in all of Alaska.
Well, speaking about amazing music, how about doing another piece?
You played one for
Somewhere in the Middle. Maybe say a little bit about how you've chosen this one you're going to do.
Well, I think the reason I picked this one is because it's my most recent song and I'm obsessed with it.
Oh, okay. That's pretty direct and clear. Yes.
Okay. That happens. I write a new song and then I become very obsessed with it for a while, and I play it like till I can't stand it anymore. And then then as soon as a new song comes along, it replaces it.
Okay.
But this song came out of Salmon Stock this summer.
Right.
Which was, for me, an incredibly inspirational event. This is my first time going and playing. And it was very well organized. And there was like 75 musical acts happening over the course of basically 2.5 days. And everything was very well done. It's, of course, in Inilchik, so it's not really close to a lot of places.
No, it's a lot. It's wasted. I've been down there recently. It's a drive. Yeah.
But just to see that many Alaskan musicians together playing, and all the collaboration that was going on sort of off stage, and all these things happening on stage, people were just popping on stage right and left. Groups were being made right and left. And of course there was some incredible out of town headline acts too, but, it was a really inspirational event for me. I'm so glad I went. Anyway, this song is called Kenai Moon.
Kenai Moon. Laura Odom.
Sleepy haze. Please, Lord, don't make me resist. Oh, Lord, please, Lord, 'cause I've already been
talking with Laura Odin, and she's just shared a most recent work that she has both written. And I'm wondering, you're still in that stage where, as you've self-described, you're somewhat obsessed with this song. It's time probably to talk about what comes next. And does this just sort of happen that you move on to the next song as you're writing it? Are you in the process of writing some others right now?
Yeah, I have a few brewing. Right now, one hasn't actually grabbed a hold of me. It is very much a process that is driven by something other than me. It just, you know, something happens, and then it moves forward. It's very... you know, cellular, I don't know.
There are people who describe writing in that way, that they sort of mull things over, and all of a sudden something comes together and words flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it really is carving out some time, and I have a crazy busy life like most people, you know, I kind of slice up my year into, at this point, focusing on promoting some shows. And then this past year, I made my first CD, which was an incredible experience. And I really learned a lot about my songs by recording them, and I'm pretty excited to get to the next CD, which I figure will probably be next summer. I'm still kind of working on getting this one out there.
Well, we're going to put it out there. It's Alchemy is the title.
Alchemy, yeah.
And is this, how did you come up with that? Titles are always interesting, too. How did you come up with Alchemy?
Alchemy is the title track. And I really liked the way that song came out. That song was, again, that song was a very cathartic song for me to write and play and play again and play again. I mean, that's the other thing about songs is that whatever you're working through, because often it's the result of these sort of little fragments of your life come together in some kind of composite that doesn't necessarily look like the original. But the process of doing that and then the process of playing them again and again and again and throwing them out there for people to connect to is a phenomenally healing and cathartic experience for me. And that particular song was very much that. I had somebody call me one time and said, I just love that love song you wrote called Alchemy. And I was so confused because to me that song isn't at all a love song. I had to go back and listen to it with fresh ears. And I heard what he was talking about. Right. But for me, it's really a song about, you know, pain that sort of goes on for a long time. And I really liked the way that song came out. We had some great musicians on that song. Evan Phillips produced it. He's been cranking through albums this year. He's just a great producer. He's so great to work with, as were all the musicians on this album.
Okay. Well, we've been talking with Laura Oden, and we've had her share a couple of her songs, and we've just about used up almost a half hour in doing this, and we've done it nicely. You have been playing in a variety of venues. I see that, obviously, Thursday. What time will be?
This Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Bistro Red Beat.
Okay. And then you have also an appearance at Taproot in Anchorage scheduled in November.
Yeah, the Taproot show is going to be a big show. November 15th.
Okay.
Starts at 8. Sophia Street is going to open. She got the number one singer-songwriter or vocalist from the Anchorage Press this year, so that was super fun.
Wow.
I was lucky I already had her on my lineup. We're going to play a great show. So.
Okay. Well, I look forward to that. You are also reachable because you are on everything. You have email, you have Twitter, you have Facebook.
I am.
Okay. And it's all pretty much under the Laura Oden, LauraOden, all together. And if you do that, you'll find the Facebook listing, Twitter as well. Do you have a website? Yes.
Yeah, actually, LauraOden.com is really the best place to go. You can hear everything on the album. You can add your name to the email list, which is the main thing that helps me is to so I can let you know when shows are.
Okay.
I mean, you know, music is made pretty much one fan at a time, so Join the list.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Laura, for coming in,
taking
the time to drive out and muse along the way. Perhaps this will be an inspirational trip.
My pleasure.
Okay. We'll be playing your music from time to time and wish you the best right now. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.